You know, I used to talk a lot in this context about the Champions Retreat golf case. You may remember that one, which had stood for the controversial proposition that golf courses were not ecological preserves, right? Where the IRS said, wait a minute, you took a giant charitable deduction for a conservation easement over your golf course? Like, this is just 18 holes in a driving range. This is not an ecological preserve. There's not open space that's open to the public because it's a private club. And so it's like inherently private and can't in any way be charitable. And I love talking about that case because it was fun to sort of be snarky about it and think about it. But now I can't anymore because the 11th Circuit vacated that opinion very recently, holding that the rivers that ran through the golf course were public spaces where people did kayaking and bird watching, and accordingly, that was sufficient to get over that hump. So I think, you know, if you always need an exception to prove a rule, I think that might be it here. The Bel Air Woods case, I think, was also a tax court case from 2018. It sort of takes things a step further, and I like the way that it highlights how aggressive the IRS can be, or maybe how technical the rules can be. It's another conservation easement case, but it doesn't have the same sort of bad facts as some of the others that we've got. Because here, the taxpayer donated the conservation easement and took a $5 million charitable deduction for doing so, and the IRS denied the deduction, not because of some of the other issues we've talked about, but because of the technicalities. Right, Turney said this morning that the IRS wants nothing more in this space to get you on a footfault. Did you call it ticky-tacky? And I think that's exactly what we have in this case, because we've got a series of cases where folks are taking these charitable deductions and then not being super careful and thoughtful about the 8283 or the appraisal and not checking all the boxes. And this was one of those sort of first canaries in the coal mines of not reporting the income tax basis on the form and then getting denied the charitable deduction for that reason. Because in this case, and when you look at the opinion, you can very clearly see that the court is sort of stepping over itself a little bit because they acknowledge how thorough the appraisal was and how much detail it had and how it was very... they did just about everything that they could, but they did not report the income tax basis. And so the IRS said no deduction because foot fault, we got you. And the tax court agreed because they had to, because that's the rules. As a father of two young boys, I'm very familiar with the phrase, it was an accident, right? It was just an accident. But in this world, you don't get away with it was an accident, right? You have to check all of the boxes. There was a good example from last year, the Chiarelli case in the tax court. Let me just read to you. It's the opinion says, there's no relief to taxpayers who have failed to disclose information that goes to the essential requirements of the governing statute. Right? The taxpayer in that case was trying to argue a substantial compliance and some of those things of equity and fairness that we sort of see in other areas of the law. But here, it's very clear that the tax basis is so important in order to make sure that there isn't, you know, overvaluation, for instance, that that is an essential requirement of the governing statute. And so you're going to get hit every time. I always think about making sure we've got our charitable deduction appraisal checklist, right? You have got to have a checklist, and you have got to have somebody trusted in your office going through the appraisal line by line and checking off all of the requirements. Or maybe letting the accounting firms do that, right? And not touching it, but definitely not doing it halfway. Because you got to do it right. You've got to be so careful in this space. And I know that's sort of true throughout what we do for our clients, right? That's trying to manage what our clients want. You know, our clients always want two things. They want it to be exactly right, and they want it to be very simple. And so we've got to always try to manage and balance being expeditious, being simple, with being thorough. And I think this is one instance where we have to push our clients towards, we just have to be thorough. That appraisal has to be thorough. You got to pay for it, otherwise you're not going to get the deduction, full stop. One of the things that I think about in this context, you maybe remember that Johnson tax court case. I think it was from 2020. In that Johnson case, it wasn't in the charitable arena, but that was the one where we had the court was trying to discern between the battle of the experts. You had the two valuation experts who were trying to figure out what the value was. And in that case, you can sort of see the court is saying, like, I am not qualified to determine which appraiser is correct, right? And the IRS is in a similar position. Obviously, it has resources and can hire its own appraisers, but it knows that in the battle of the appraiser context, it's hard to win. And it's certainly not cheap to win, right? So you've got to be, so what the IRS has done is said, well, look, we know we've got this rule. We know that you've got to check all the boxes. So let's just avoid the fight and let's just get you on the footfalls so that we don't have to get into the appraisal battle. Because the devil's in the details. The Blau case was a DC Circuit Court case from a couple of years ago. That's where the partnership took a $33 million charitable deduction for a donation to the University of Michigan. Y'all may remember that case. And again, they failed to report the income tax basis, and the court disallowed the entire deduction. And in that case, there may have been some actual...